Picture the corporate landscape right now. It's June 2026. Everywhere you look, there's this absolute stampede to roll out Microsoft 365 Copilot.
Oh, yeah, it's a gold rush.
Right. Everyone is just desperate for that AI productivity boost. But behind the scenes, there's a massive quiet crisis brewing because an AI rollout without rigorous internal security, it isn't a productivity hack.
No, not at all.
It's basically a massive data breach waiting to happen. And today we are looking at this incredibly revealing document. It's a leaked internal playbook from an IT firm that isn't just fixing this crisis for their clients. They're actively weaponizing the panic around it to make millions.
Yeah, it's a brilliant, slightly terrifying look behind the curtain, really. The document is from a company called Technegion. And, on its face, it's titled Securing the Future, Microsoft 365 Copilot Governance Roadmap 2026.
Right. Sounds like a standard manual.
Exactly. But it has this dual purpose. We get a raw look at the legitimate technical IT risks of an enterprise AI rollout while simultaneously watching this absolute masterclass in how tech companies use that corporate anxiety to drive their search rankings.
And generate consulting leads, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
So whether you're an IT admin currently sweating over an impending AI launch, or I don't know, a marketer trying to understand topical authority, or just a curious learner wanting to see how this stuff actually works, this deep dive is going to reveal how technical risk and business strategy just totally collide.
It really is fascinating.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can even touch the marketing genius of this playbook, we have to understand the actual on-the-ground crisis businesses are facing with Copilot.
Right, because a marketing strategy built on fear, I mean, it only works if the monster under the bed is real.
Exactly. And the monster is very real here. It lives right in the corporate infrastructure. The fundamental issue the document outlines, it stems from how AI actually functions inside a closed corporate network.
Yeah, because AI tools like Copilot, they're essentially hyper-efficient search engines for your internal data.
Yeah.
They're designed to just crawl through emails, chat logs, file
It's
storage,
just vacuuming everything up.
right, to surface information instantly.
Yeah.
But that incredible efficiency becomes a massive liability if a company's internal permissions are a mess.
Yeah, I was reading through the technical warning signs they list, things like overexposed files, inconsistent user permissions, weak data labels, and it immediately brought this specific image to mind.
Oh, what's that?
Well, rolling out Copilot in an average corporate environment, it feels like hiring a super smart, lightning-fast intern.
Okay, I like that.
Right. Like they're eager to please, they can find anything in seconds. But because of poor planning, you've accidentally handed this intern the master keys to every single unlocked filing cabinet in the entire building,
Oh, wow. Yeah.
including like cabinet with the executive payroll, the upcoming layoff list, proprietary client data, you name it.
That analogy hits the nail on the head. Because if an HR spreadsheet from, say, 2022 detailing everybody's salaries was just casually dropped into a shared folder and forgotten about, Copilot will find it.
Oh, instantly.
Yeah. When an employee innocently asks the AI to summarize departmental compensation, the AI just happily obliges. It does exactly what it was programmed to do. It assumes that if the user has access to the folder, even by accident, they're authorized to see that data.
But I mean, surely it's 2026. We have AI tools to fix AI problems. Are businesses really failing at this because they don't have the right software tools?
Well, you'd assume the market would solve that, right?
Yeah.
With a meat software patch.
Right, like a dashboard that just scans the network and locks it all down.
But the source text is clear here. The struggle isn't a lack of tools. The tools exist. The real issue is relying on human memory, manual effort, or incomplete visibility over the years.
Oh, I see.
A new security dashboard cannot retroactively understand the business context of a five-year-old folder named, like, Project Phoenix. It doesn't know who should legitimately have access today versus who needed it during the launch.
Right, the machine doesn't know the human context.
Exactly. If the foundational architecture, the way data is labeled and governed by actual human beings, is a chaotic mess, dropping an automated tool on top just creates automated chaos.
Wow, so it's an architectural rot problem.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is that these aren't just IT headaches. The document points out that this internal rot directly damages the customer experience.
Wait, really? How does internal IT stuff affect the customer?
Well, think about it. Weak governance causes slow answers, inconsistent proof, poor digital experiences, and that directly hurts business conversion rates.
I get it. If the internal data is chaotic, the AI surfaces conflicting pricing sheets or outdated compliance documents.
Right. Your sales team hesitates on calls. They send follow-up emails with contradictory answers.
So the customer essentially feels the echo of your internal data chaos.
Precisely. External friction kills trust. And when a buyer loses trust, they just don't convert.
That is a massive operational leap to connect those two things, but it makes perfect sense. So if the risk of data exposure is that high, how does a company actually fix it? Because throwing another corporate checklist at IT clearly isn't working.
No, checklists fail because they're a one-time event. To actually fix this, the playbook outlines a three-phase operating discipline. It has to be a permanent, measurable business function.
Okay, so what's phase one?
Phase one has to be narrow and documented. You can't clean the whole network at once. You review beta access, labels, retention, and admin controls for the most sensitive stuff first.
Right, stop the bleeding.
Exactly. And the output of this must be a documented improvement, not just a strategy meeting.
Okay, that makes sense. But then we get to phase two, which is the measurement phase, and I have to push back here. Wait, the source says we should measure metrics like lead quality and conversion rates. How on earth does fixing SharePoint permissions improve a company's lead quality?
Sounds wild, right? But the document connects the dots perfectly. When a system is clean and secure, your sales teams get faster, more accurate answers.
Because the AI isn't feeding them garbage.
Right. And that directly improves the customer experience. But also, your internal reporting isn't obscured by a messy system anymore. You finally get a clear picture of which campaigns are actually driving revenue. So your lead tracking becomes vastly more reliable.
Okay, that actually is brilliant. You're building a better showroom, not just cleaning the basement.
Exactly. But then you have phase three, which is standardizing ownership.
Yeah.
Because if you just do a one-time fix, the issues will inevitably return.
Right, because staff leaves or you hire new vendors.
Yeah. The playbook shifts the whole visual from a chaotic web of files into a clean, linear flowchart. Governance has to be an operating discipline. Someone actually has to own it.
Okay, so we understand the IT problem and how to fix it. Here's where it gets really interesting, because now we transition to the meta layer. Why was this specific document written for June 2026?
Yes. The Technigium playbook.
Right. I was reading the roadmap, and at the top, it literally says this is designed to fit Persona D week W20 of their 180-day publishing plan.
It's incredible to see it laid out like that.
It really is. They are targeting long-tail search demand like enterprise copilot readiness.
Right, and the strategy explains the transition the company is making in June. They're moving away from just trying to win featured snippets and moving into backlink partnerships and building topical authority.
For anyone outside of SEO, what's the difference there?
Well, a featured snippet is just that quick two-sentence definition at the top of Google. It's nice, but it doesn't sell consulting contracts.
It's just trivia, basically.
Exactly. Topical authority means convincing the algorithm that you are the undisputed encyclopedia for a specific niche. So they use strategic internal linking to push readers reading this roadmap toward their cybersecurity services and AI consulting pages.
They build the maze and then sell you the map to get out. But doesn't every tech vendor write these kinds of warning blogs? How does this actually stand out in a sea of AI content?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the source explains their competitive edge clearly. Competitors stay broad and national. They write generic AI advice.
Right.
But Technigium connects the problem to local Orange County business conditions. They explicitly answer buyer objections before they're even raised on a sales call.
Oh, wow. So tying it to Orange County makes it feel real to a local buyer. It's not just abstract theory anymore.
Exactly. It's an exercise in building trust, not just ranking on a search engine. By the time the prospect calls, they already agree with Technigium's worldview.
That is wildly smart. But okay, let's step into the boardroom for a second. None of this, not the IT fix, not the SEO strategy, none of it matters if you can't get budget approval.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. The graveyard of IT projects is full of unfunded proposals. You need internal alignment.
And the source outlines this brilliant internal alignment strategy, the dual owner model. Mm. They say you must assign one business owner to define the why and one technical or marketing owner to define the how.
Which is so crucial. Because if it's just the IT guy, it becomes too technical for leadership to approve.
Right. The executives just hear jargon and tune out.
Yeah. And if it's just the CEO, it becomes too abstract. It's all buzzwords and no action. The dual owner model prevents all of that.
So you have your owners. Now you need the money. the playbook has a very specific philosophy on budgeting, doesn't it?
It does. You absolutely must separate urgent fixes, like security and uptime, from maturity improvements, like reporting automation.
And the way they frame the ask is fascinating. You don't ask what it costs to fix the servers.
Oh, no. You frame it entirely around the cost of inaction. Don't ask what it costs to fix. Ask what the cost of inaction is if this proprietary data is left exposed for another quarter.
Are we comfortable risking a massive data breach to save 50 grand right now?
Exactly. It forces leadership to own the risk.
Okay, so let's say they sign the check. The expert brings in a partner. The source is ruthless about holding partners accountable, aren't they?
Oh, incredibly strict. They mandate a 30-day checklist and establish very clear vendor rules. And the biggest rule: a leader should never have to decode technical notes.
Right, no 50-page logs.
Reports must be in plain language.
Yeah.
They have to connect the implementation details directly to the business outcomes. Like, did this actually speed up the sales cycle?
Which proves the value of the investment. So what does this all mean? When we pull it all together, rolling out Copilot without a roadmap is a recipe for internal chaos.
Absolutely. The super smart intern will find your secrets.
But treating governance as a measurable, transparent business objective solves the IT risk. And simultaneously, it creates this highly effective marketing engine for the IT firm.
Yeah. And the strongest signal of success here isn't a flawless system from day one. It's an environment where the team can explain what changed, why it was verified, and what happens next. It's controlled progress.
Controlled progress. I love that. Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with. The roadmap we just analyzed explicitly directs teams to document this entire process so it can be reused as an asset and linked to sales.
Right.
So as you navigate the web, if vital technical governance guides are increasingly being crafted as hyper-optimized SEO sales funnels deliberately designed to highlight your vulnerabilities, how do you distinguish between a vendor's genuine operational warning and a carefully engineered cost of inaction sales pitch?
That is the million-dollar question.
Is it an actual warning or just great marketing? It's something to think about the next time you read a very helpful, very urgent guide online. We hope this deep dive gave you a fresh perspective on how technical risk and business strategy really interact. Keep questioning what you read, and we'll catch you on the next deep dive.